Welcome to the SportsMed broadcast. We are here talking with Dr. William McGarvey. He just came in today and spoke on turf toe. Thank you for coming, Dr. McGarvey.
No problem.
So if you could just kind of give us a rehash what you talked about.
Yeah. So turf toe is, you know, it's an injury that is sort of proprietary to Houston. Happened as a result of a lot of the changes in playing surfaces, particularly the introduction of artificial surfaces in the mid-60s. And over time, the numbers have gone up because of the increase in the traction on the surfaces, as well as the higher performance shoe wear being more flexible. So what turf toe is technically is a sprain of the first metatarsophalangeal joint, and it's a spectrum of injury, because a sprain, just like any other sprain in the syndesmosis or the ankle, can be just a stretching of the tissues all the way up to tearing of the ligament complex. And so you can see minor versions of it, and you can see some fairly severe versions of it. And we just had a discussion about some of the subtleties, as well as the specifics in terms of evaluation and treatment, and the potential for this to be a career-threatening and career-ending injury.
So why is it, while a skill position is playing, why is it that they feel pain with turf toe? And then how do you feel like that's kind of brought about with
so
this audience?
The pain is typically due to a high dorsiflexion angle. So the skill players are ones that typically are going to have to be on the ball of their foot for the majority of the game, whether it's backpedaling, pushing off, trying to change directions. And then that dorsiflexion of that MTP joint is accentuated because the cleat grabs the turf doesn't give, and as the change in directions occurs, that toe comes way up beyond where it's normally positioned, and that can be very painful. Normally, you know, if you do it repetitively and do appropriate strengthening, you can build up the tissues. If it's a rapid increase in the amount of activity, then it may be problematic and cause a lot of inflammation.
So just like with any other tendinopathy, usually it's the high amounts of increase in volume of activity that tends to lead to that sort of a reaction versus a slow, steady buildup.
Correct.
So how do you have recommendations as far as how to develop a plan for coaches and runners and just, you know, let's say weekend warriors, that they can kind of watch their volume, or is it symptoms that they can start to look for to determine when things are kind of catching up to them?
Yeah, I think that as far as prevention, you know, the ACL is way ahead of us in the foot and ankle world in terms of preventative maintenance. You know, there's a lot of prehab, if you will, and preventative work that gets done, programs in schools nowadays. For the foot, really not as much. And this is not, you know, it's out there, but we don't see it with the frequency that we see other injuries. And so it just hasn't gained as much recognition or attention. I do think, though, that being aware of your shoe wear, being aware of pain in the ball of the foot, you know, if you're in a highly flexible shoe, even if you're not on turf, if you're just a weekend runner and you're in a, you know, a lot of people wear these really flexible shoes these days and run on hard surfaces, you start developing pain in the ball of your foot. You got to start thinking, okay, maybe I need to do something about the stiffness of the sole of my foot. Maybe I need to see somebody about it. And, you know, I always emphasize that it's better to come in and be seen for something that turns out to be a more minor problem than to wait until it becomes a severe problem and then you have to be off your activity or potentially need some more invasive treatment.
You said it's a hyperdorsiflexion that's the most common. Is the laxity that develops with that dorsiflexion, or is it just the stress repetitively kind of helping to develop a tendinopathy, or both? What do you feel like kind of
I think it's
that?
A continuum. I think that what happens first is that the normal tissues are put under tension and that becomes irritable and becomes stretched. But over time, with repetitive use and lack of treatment, you can develop laxity, which can lead to deformity of the toe or instability of the toe that can cause joint wear.
So as a physical therapist and then trainers who are also involved with these athletes, they come in and complain of these symptoms. Like we mentioned, the skill position players. What's our first course of action to see if we can help calm it down before it starts to become a prolonged issue or we have to, you know, set them back?
I think the first thing you do is make an assessment of how the, what the severity is. So like a lot of ligament injuries, you have your grades 1, 2, and 3. You know, grade 1 is a just a stretch, a grade 3 is a tear, and then that grade 2 is sort of that gray area in between that, that is very large and broad. If they're a lower grade, then typically you can work with them, keep them playing, work on things like just your rest, ice compression, elevation, anti-inflammatory modalities, and maybe even do some plantar flexion, FHL strengthening type of things. And maybe also some Achilles tendon lengthening, because a lot of times what will happen is they're tight in the Achilles, and instead of allowing the give through the ankle, it's all coming through the big toe. So Achilles tendon stretching exercises are helpful. If it becomes more painful, or if it lingers more than a few weeks, then you really have to start thinking about, okay, maybe I need to start shutting this down. The other thing that I didn't mention in the earlier phases are doing things like, you know, taping to prevent as much dorsiflexion, or even shoe inserts that will provide a little rigidity. But as we talked about earlier, skill position athletes hate the turf toe inserts. They just hate them. They want to get them out of their shoes as much as possible because they feel restricted.
Do you feel like most of these injuries, grade 1, 2, and 3, follow the continuum, or have you seen where it just kind of can start as a grade 3? Do you see like traumatic type of movements to the injuries that cause it, or is it typically just 1, 2, 3 kind of the continuum?
I would say that some present to us, and they're pretty uncommon, but some do present to us at the initiation with a higher degree of injury. But if you question those patients and those athletes, typically what you're going to find is they had symptoms and they either just didn't treat them, or they ignored them, or they, you know, tried to do some things on their own that didn't really help. But yes, some people do come in with an actual separation of tissue as their initial complaint.
Moving on to a kind of different area of the ankle, I see a lot of posterior tib tendonitis patients, and I wouldn't say so much the younger populations, but middle-aged to older populations. Kind of give me an idea why that's the case.
Posterior tib is more of a degenerative condition, and I agree with you. The 30-year-old, even with posterior tibia tendonitis, is a fairly uncommon patient. Probably see a little more commonly now as people are getting more active, but typically this is a condition that you'll see mid-40s at the earliest, and oftentimes into the 60s and 70s is when it starts, because the tendon itself, the foot, is very adaptable. So even if you have a flat foot and it puts a lot of stress on your posterior tib, you can usually muddle through with that. Occasionally people will wear orthotics and those sorts of things, but a lot of people just have flat feet, and it's very ethnically driven. If you look at it, there have actually been some studies. Your Caucasian population has more of a high arched foot, you know, if you look at NBA players, whereas the African-American population has much more of a plano valgus foot. And that's just the natural occurrence of their biomechanics. So they're usually pretty adaptable to that.
You mentioned, you know, a lot of athletes and individuals in general just wanting to go to these more flimsy shoes. Mm-hmm. Could they potentially be helping themselves out by giving them a more sturdy shoe, maybe one that has, you know, more structure to the medial sole or the inserts and things like that?
I certainly think once you have an injury, it's interesting that you ask that question, and probably a discussion for a different day. But, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought that say that, you know, we weren't meant to be shod at all. And so a lot of, you know, there was a big push going back about 5 years for barefoot running, or some of these, Vibram shoes and other things that really provided very little, if any, support. And there are plenty of people out there doing that sort of thing. So it's difficult to say, but I think you don't go from being wearing shoes your entire life and just go out and walk barefoot because you've not had the opportunity to develop strength and conditioning, and you know, the structure of your foot is used to having some support. So if you're in that situation and you're having pain and you're wearing a flimsier shoe, then yeah, the tendency is, for me at least, to provide some degree of support, whether it be in an orthotic or just recommending a stiffer soled shoe and better, you know, a better with a firmer upper.
Same sort of question regarding Achilles tendonitis and tendinopathies. You see it more in the middle-aged, older populations in my clinic, especially the guy who hasn't played football or basketball in, you know, months, guys decides to go out and join a league, or, you know, family touch, you know, football, and then they come in with either the full rupture because they decided to push off the line and beat their cousin. Why is it the case then that we're seeing these in the older populations? Is because we just had that downtime where we didn't develop the resiliency. When you have younger athletes who are day-to-day running and jumping.
Yeah, I think the younger athlete, even though they have overuse injuries, they develop tissue conditioning. Whereas in the weekend warrior, you know, the guy that used to do it every day in high school and college isn't doing it as much. And so there's definitely a resistance of tissue that develops in the resting phase. And then mentally, we all think we can do a lot more than physically we probably should do. So a lot of times you get this this situation where somebody hasn't played softball for 3 months, 4 months, but then, you know, the summer league comes up or summer basketball league, and they feel like, well, I did it last summer, so I'm ready to go again, without any real conditioning or maintenance of their musculoskeletal system. So I think that's definitely it. And we're older, you know. I mean, once we get to that point, we're not as able to heal and as quickly.
So preventative, as an older athlete myself, you know, if I'm trying to avoid the PT table and the surgeon's table, what are your recommendations for, you know, activity modification, but also trying to help maintain tissue resiliency so we can avoid those issues?
So I think you have to do a little something, you know, pre. And I'm not saying that you have to go and stretch for 15 minutes every time you want to step out in the backyard and play with your kids. But I do think if you're getting ready to do something that's going to require repetitive and demanding activity, you know, if you're getting into a softball league, a basketball league, you know, you're going to play some tennis on a regular basis, you should probably do a little bit of conditioning, do a little stretching, you know, just get your body in reasonable condition to be able to tolerate the rigors of those sports, as opposed to just saying, well, I've done this before and just, I'm going to wing it.
Well, I think that's the time that we have for today. I appreciate it again, Dr. McGarvey. If you guys want to catch up on our website, you go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/McGarvey2018, and you can get the rest of this talk. Thank you guys very much.